I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome to our program. 2 days ago, we learned more about a proposed $133 million overhaul of a key CATA bus route between downtown Lansing and Okemos. The agency says passengers make a total of 1.7 million rides a year on Route 1. Now, supporters want to use that government money to turn Route 1 into a bus rapid transit line, featuring dedicated lanes for buses and cars, as well as for left turns and U-turns. Others oppose the plan, expecting worse traffic and fewer shoppers in some stores near that route. They also complain of a lack of awareness and oversight of the BRT proposal. Two of those opponents join me now. Shirley Decker is the co-owner of Mertz Meats on Grand River in Okemos. Welcome, Shirley.
Thank you.
And Sherry Martin is an Okemos resident. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you.
Deb Alexander is the assistant executive director of CATA, and her very first point on her visit here on Wednesday was that CATA has to increase capacity. Apparently, its data show that ridership is going to increase, and it has to make some kind of change to its transportation infrastructure to accommodate these future riders. So a lot of this project, I think, is pegged on that assertion. Are you generally in agreement with that or generally in disagreement with that?
Well, her statement was that they're at capacity now on Route 1. I dispute that just from visualization of the buses that go by that are never full. I've never seen a full bus on Route 1. So I dispute that statement alone.
I brought that up with Deb here on Wednesday. Anecdotally, it's not uncommon to hear people make that comment. Sherry, do you generally contest that as well?
Thank you, Mark. I agree with Shirley. I've been a resident of Okemos for over 18 years, and when I moved here, one of the things that I noticed was big CATA buses riding up and down the Tri-City area, empty or near empty all the time, and so. Taking note of that, I travel up and down Corridor 1 or Route 1 all the time. The only time I see full buses is when MSU is in full session and the peak times during in that very tight East Lansing-Chandler corridor. And I believe that can be easily remedied by additional buses. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, all the outlying areas and all the feeders into Route 1 and even Route 1 itself, I came that way this morning. The bus had two people on it. It generally is empty.
Now, we'll make clear that CATA claims to have a good deal of data, and I know it has access to a lot of studies and data that would contrast with your view here. We're not going to dive into that data here and now, but anecdotally, I think you make a valid point. It's not uncommon to hear people say that. This is also a lot about traffic impacts. Let's hear another of Deb Alexander. Well, we're not going to hear another of Deb Alexander's most basic assertions. I will try to paraphrase here. She says that the dedicated lanes for buses and the dedicated lanes for cars would increase capacity. How do you feel about that assertion?
I think that is probably true. However, with that being said, the buses will have the capability of stopping the lights or turning the lights on, the stoplights. And so when the bus approaches a red light, they will be able to turn that light green to go through. That means the bus...
That will be in the control of the bus driver.
That's correct. And they have told us specifically that the cars coming the other way or against traffic will have to wait for two cycles to continue on their way. So while the buses can continue on their way and maybe the traffic going that way, the cars and traffic the other way will have to sit through two cycles of lights to continue on their way. She called it a smoother operation. I call it a debacle.
Well, let's hear Deb Alexander's own words here. Here she is on Wednesday, again explaining that dedicated lanes for buses and for cars would help increase capacity on Route 1. Here she is.
All of our traffic models indicate, as I've said, that there's an increase in the amount of capacity and the smooth operation of the auto lanes because you remove the frequently stopping buses from those auto lanes today. So one might argue that the buses are part of what is causing the volume, what appears to be lots of volumes and stoppages on the corridor today. When we stop, cars behind us don't want to sit there, so you make an erratic movement to go around the bus. So all of that causes a less unsmooth operation.
Sounds logical enough, Sherry.
It does, although none of us have had access to those traffic studies. So as we all know, you can pick points out that make your case. I disagree also with the contention because they're going to install 9 more traffic lights down that 8-mile corridor. They're going to prohibit drivers from turning left except at intersections down that corridor. That's going to create U-turns. It's going to create problems for businesses and shoppers who want to go into those businesses. And the delivery trucks that need to go in and out of those businesses are going to have to go straight past their company. They're going to have to turn in a U-turn fashion or turn down the perpendicular street, come back around. That's going to create all kinds of traffic snarls, not to mention the light signaling situation that Shirley mentioned. All the drivers that want to turn onto Grand River or East Lansing will be waiting 1, 2, 3 light cycles before they can make that turn. Traffic will back up at those intersections in an unsatisfactory way.
Now, there will still be, as I understand it, what are called free-flowing left turns throughout much of the route. They will be, they will end, apparently, in 2 stretches on Michigan Avenue between Grand and Detroit Street. And this is what CATA refers to as free-flowing left turns. They will be removed on Michigan Avenue between Grand Avenue and Detroit and on Grand River in East Lansing between Brookfield and Okemos Roads. And as you referred to, Sherry, the BRT project proposes an additional 8 signalized intersections allowing both left turns and U-turns, which brings the total to 47. There are already 39 of those on Route 1. You know, there's a video on the CATA website. I'm sure you've seen it. And it allows for the left turns, it allows for the U-turns, and everything is, you know, it's an impressive video. It looks as smooth as it can possibly be. That hasn't persuaded you. Why not?
Because a lot of what's going on with CATA is a moving target. If they hear something that sounds detrimental, then they change it the next time you talk to them. We have not been privy to any of the studies, as Sherry mentioned. In fact, at a March 22nd meeting, there were no less than 15 to 18 people that stood up and asked questions, asked and voiced concerns, and we were to get responses to that. It is now 2.5 months later, and we still don't have responses to those questions and concerns. It's like I said, it's a moving target. We don't really believe anything that's going on because everything changes from week to week.
I think you've both expressed concerns about oversight of the plan. One or both of you have already suggested to me that CATA has, quote, too much authority to make this happen, that the public is having to play catch up on this. Why do you think the public is having to play catch up on this, Sherry?
From my understanding, CATA needs public support in order to get the funding that they seek. And so they had a number of charrettes with small groups of people. I understand that a lot of the same people attended charrettes over and over. But those of us that live along that corridor, have businesses and friends in that corridor, we were not made aware of this until my first awareness was at the beginning of this year. And when I called their offices, they claim that they've never heard any opposition. And the reason for that is because they haven't made this issue public. I agree with you. The renderings on their website look lovely. There's trees and there's all additional businesses. But they're not realistic. One of those renderings shows a small business or a kiosk in front of the Walgreens as it sits today on Grand River and Okemos Road. How can that happen? That's a parking area for those patrons. How are they going to put additional businesses along that corridor? They also claim that the BRT will bring in all kinds of new business. If you drive down that 8-mile corridor, there are very few sections that already are not developed or underdeveloped. In fact, I think there's only two. So none of those new businesses they speak of have been quantified at all.
Now, CATA defends the process by pointing out that they have held or participated in more than 40 meetings where attendees have had opportunities to offer input. This is a quote from CATA that I received yesterday. Public input has helped shape the BRT project as it stands today. It's had an active website for the project since its inception, which it claims goes back to 2009, 7 years ago. That website offers information and invites input and questions. It's an ongoing way for the public to provide input. You did allude to the charrettes. There have been other meetings. Why has it taken so long for everybody to get on board? I know I read about the charrettes. We've done stories about the charrettes on WKAR. What accounts for this delay, this catch up?
They tell us that they sent letters out to all the businesses in Meridian Township that would be affected by this project. None of the businesses that I know, the owners, such as Playmakers, Leo's there and on Grand River and Okemos, none of us received letters. Meridian Township EDS person even said that he sent letters out. None of us got any letters. Mm. So I don't know why. They're saying that people have been notified about meetings and about this project when, in fact, we have not received any notification of it.
We're talking with two opponents, both based in Okemos or with a business in Okemos, one or the other here, of the bus rapid transit plan that CATA is pursuing for its heavily traveled Route 1. You've mentioned, Sherry, that maybe you've both mentioned that you have not had access to the studies that CATA sites in defending this plan. Is it conceivable that if you had access to those studies and maybe more data, that you might be persuaded? You appear firmly against it here today. If you had access to those studies and that data, is it conceivable you could change? You could be changed. Your minds could be changed.
Some of the studies that they're referring to is like Deb brought up on Wednesday, a study in Utah. What does that have to do with Lansing, Michigan, and their surrounding cities that will be involved? It's maybe 100,000 people. Whatever city she's talking about in Utah, if it's Salt Lake, we're talking millions in that area that would be affected by this. I understand what she's saying about doing studies, but some of the towns and cities that they're doing studies or getting those studies from are much larger and totally different than what Lansing and Meridian Township are.
Continue, Sharon.
Sure. I would be very interested in seeing the studies. I'm going to be objective, of course, and would be interested in what the origin of those studies, but I remain unconvinced that a city, Ingham County, has 280,000 residents as of its 2010 census. CATA claims they have 1.3 million or 1.7 million riders. I don't know where those riders are coming from unless they count every jump off and on the bus. We're a county.
Well, I'm pretty sure they do. I'm pretty sure that's how they calculate.
They do. And the city of East Lansing has about 46,000 residents. We are not Cleveland. That 8-mile corridor is adequately serviced. CATA has an annual operating budget of over $47 million. They only currently collect about $5.7 million in fare income. So they're running a $37 million or more deficit every year paid by taxpayers, and now they want to spend another $133 million to rip up an 8-mile section of road that is already working fine.
Your organization, opponents to this, have a Facebook page. Remind us what it is.
Yes, Responsible Citizens for Responsible Public Transportation in Ingham County.
We want to continue this conversation because it covers an awful lot of ground. There are a ton of nooks and crannies to this discussion and a ton of considerations, important ones, that need to be made. But we did want to hear from both sides. We want to thank Sherry Martin and Shirley Decker of Mertz Meats. Sherry is an Okemos resident. Both are opposed to the proposal to build a bus rapid transit line on Cata's Route 1 between downtown Lansing and Okemos. Thank you very much for
Thank
being
you.
Here
Thank
today.
Thank you, Mark.